This week's Parsha is Parshas Yisro. I'd like to dedicate this learning in memory of my grandfather, Shmuel Avram ben Tzvi, his neshama Shavan Aliyah, as well as Yibad al-Chaim, and for Shleim, for Chaim Baruch ben Rachel Malka. So we start the Parsha of Yisro, which is the Parsha that records the revelation at Har Sinai, Mount Sinai, the giving of the Torah, the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments. And the parasha starts with Yisro, Moshe's father-in-law, coming. It says, Vayishma Yisro. Yisro heard. And what did he hear? He heard all of the things that God had done for the Jewish people in his taking the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt. So the question, though, is it's pretty ambiguous, because it doesn't really tell us what he heard. So Rashi tells us, what did he hear? He heard about the splitting of the sea and of the war with Amalek. So the question that's asked on Rashi is that the Gemara in Zvachim, on Kuftat Zayin 117, tells us that actually there's three opinions of what he heard. What Rashi recorded, the splitting of the sea or the war with Amalek. But there's a third opinion that he heard about the giving of the Torah. So Maral Gorarie, he asks, why does Rashi leave out that third opinion? So we know that there's no chronological order to the Torah. What that means is that the Torah has a specific way of how it constructed itself. Hashem constructed the Torah in a very specific order. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's in chronological order. And that's why many times we ask the question, why is it written with, you know, a certain order? Why is this come after that? Because it doesn't necessarily mean that chronologically, in terms of the dating, that's when it happened. So it's possible that the Torah is putting the fact that Yisro came and he heard and he came with Tzipora, Moshe's wife and the two sons, that this event actually might have occurred post-revelation at Sinai. And that's what the Gemara in Zvachim is saying. Rashi doesn't put that in here because Rashi is famous for approaching things as reading it pshat, which means that Rashi will say the fact that this is coming before the recording of the revelation means that pashtus, or meaning the straight reading of it, is that that this is coming before the revelation, before the giving of the Ten Commandments. But the question is, why does the Torah place this event here? What is this? What's it coming to tell us? If we're talking about one of the most monumental, if not the most monumental event in our history, so the fact that Yisro is coming here and that the Torah specifically puts this account here before the revelation, it's coming to teach us something. So the Maral explains, what is this? What did he hear? What got him going? So Yisro is this incredible personality. He was a searcher. He was a person who was searching for truth. It says that he investigated every possible way of worshiping God. He searched. He was a man that was searching for the truth. So if he heard about something, this something that he heard motivated him to come forward. So what did he hear? So if it's that he heard about this incredible event of the splitting of the ocean, of the sea, so then if it's the miracle that got him going, so then there were all these miracles that were occurring in Egypt with the 10 plagues. So if it's the miraculous, then that should have motivated him. So clearly that's not what got him, if that's what we're saying that he heard. Now, the story that comes right before this event in the Torah is the fact that Amalek came and attacked the Jewish people. So what is it about that event? So Kriyat Yamsov, the splitting of the ocean, of the sea, that's an incredible event. I understand perhaps why that motivated him, but what is it about the war with Amalek? So the Maharal explains that what these two events have in common were that they were global events, that what was going on in Egypt could be written off as a local phenomena, that these were things that were happening specifically in Egypt and they didn't have far-reaching ramifications. But when it came to the splitting of the ocean, and what happened in the war with Amalek was that we had this miracle where the sun stood still. So two events. One event is the splitting of an ocean. And what the rabbis teach us is this wasn't just limited to the ocean, but that all of the water in the world split. That it was a far-reaching type of global event that occurred. So too, the stopping of the sun in the battle with Amalek was again something that was global. There's the sun. It was something that was not limited to just Egypt, but was a global event. And then the third of explanation, if we go with the idea that this is also that he heard about the revelation at Sinai, that when God came down, that this is also was a global event. So all three of these things had a global significance. And that for a person of Yisro's searching, what really got him was this idea that now he understood that God, our God, Hashem, is the God that is the unity of the oneness of all of creation. That there's this one God that is controlling everything on the level of the earth, with the ocean, with the waters, on the level of the sun and the luminaries above, and that the idea of the revelation was that it was even above the sun. But the idea that in all these different levels, that there's this oneness that he finally saw on a global level, and that's what got him, that's what motivated him to come. And that the precursor to the revelation to Mamat Har Sinai, to the revelation at Har Sinai, Mount Sinai, was really what this was coming to really the expression here was this idea of being able to see clearly with a clarity the oneness of Hashem. It says when describing this event, there are there are so many different depictions. There's multiple Gemaras that tell us about describing different aspects of the revelation. But one is that it says that when God said, I am Anochi Hashem Elokech, I am Hashem your God who took you out from Egypt, that it was the entire world. The whole creation spoke. It was as if everything stopped, and however we understand this revelation, the entire creation spoke, or was speaking, to show this idea of how everything was connected, that God's oneness was apparent. The other thing that's interesting is that the Gemara talks about, the Torah tells us that they were underneath the mountain, and the Gemara explains that the mountain was raised above the Jewish people as if they were threatened and were told, if you either you take this Torah or you'll be killed, this mountain will be thrown in on top of your heads. But what the Gemara there means, what it's really saying, is that the nature of the revelation was so clear, so powerful, that it was as if the Jewish people were coerced, they were forced, because it was so clear. When you see something with such clarity, the choice is taken away. In a certain sense, there's a certain coercion that occurred there. So on one hand, the Torah tells us that the Jewish people, when they were offered the Torah, they said, we will do, and then we will listen. They were like, we're in. But on the flip side, we have this idea that they were coerced, that because the revelation was so powerful and so clear, that it was, they had no choice. Their free will had been taken away. So you have these multiple factors here. Here they accepted it willingly. Then we see this idea of coercion. So, but ultimately we understand that this event was so powerful and so global, and that's the idea, that when it tells us that Yisro heard, what did he hear? He heard about the splitting of the ocean. He heard about the battle with Amalek. He heard about the revelation. He heard all these things. What he really was hearing was a similar concept of the oneness of God and the revelation of that. And he finally understood. He was, after all the searching, here it is. Here's the answer. And so the precursor to Mamad Har Sinai, the precursor to the revelation, is a Yisro, a person who's on the outside, who, as Moshe says, you're like our eyes. What does it mean he's like our eyes? Because when you sometimes, in order to be able to see things, we need an outsider to come to help us to be able to see things for what they really are. And so here we have Yisro. And what's interesting is when it comes to Shavuos also, which is again commemorating the revelation, we have someone by the name of Ruth, an outsider that comes in from and helps us be able to see things for what they are. And so as we celebrate and as we relive the revelation, we should take the opportunity to be able to see, or try to see, the connectedness, the oneness of God. And we talk about the idea of Hashgacha Pratit, the idea of seeing events where we see the hand of Hashem and the connectivity of life, the unification, unity, that things seem to come together. And we see that happening, we're like, wow, that was amazing. But what we're really seeing is this idea of what Yisro heard, this idea of the oneness. We could see the connectivity, the unification of all things, of that all is really one, because Hashem is at the source of all of creation and brings it all together. And so the blessing is that we should be able to have those eyes to be able to see, and with that, that should come a certain comfort, knowing that at the end of the day, there's this incredibly benevolent God, Hashem, that's there, that's the source of all goodness, and that if it doesn't necessarily look like it's good, as Rabbi Akiva used to say, "Kol David Rachmana L'Tav Aved," everything that God is doing is for our best. We might not understand it now, but when we see these difficulties, understand that at the underbelly, underpinning of all creation, of everything that occurs, there is Hashem that's there that unifies it all. And "Kol David Rachmana L'Tav Aved," everything He does is ultimately for the best. And we should be zocha, we should merit that, we should be able to come to the time where we'll be able to say that everything that we see, we can see right on the surface the goodness that's there. Wishing everybody a wonderful, blessed Shabbos.